Want unbreakable ransomware protection while cutting storage costs in half or more? Miota's patented technology encrypts, shards, and spreads your data across multiple locations, guaranteeing security and recovery against cyber attacks. Try it free at Miota.io. That's Myota.io.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am your host, Demetrius, and super excited to have a conversation with James O'Sullivan, who is the founder and CEO of Nuke from Orbit. Yeah, I know. Nuke from Orbit, that name, it sounds like he is working with Elon Musk and getting ready to find another planet or something, but I'm excited about this conversation here. James, welcome to the Gumbo. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And I am excited because we're going to talk about a subject that I think is a really cool subject. And it's, are you putting your entire life at risk every time you enter your PIN? And yes, we're talking about a PIN number, right? And so we think that PIN numbers are secure and safe, but James may tell us otherwise. And I guess it depends on how you're using your PIN. But first, give us some information about Nuke from Orbit.
Yes, Nuke from Orbit are a software security company aimed at mobile phones, particularly invalidating stolen data when a phone is stolen. So that could be things like your bank and credit cards, it can be your phone's SIM, and it can be accounts and passwords that are stored on your phone.
Okay, awesome. And what's the number one thing that you typically see when it comes to securing your mobile phones, or maybe one thing that we don't quite think about when we have our mobile phones with us and we're just going about our daily lives?
Yeah, the key thing that people don't have is the connection between how important their phone is and how they use it every day. So if you think of all the things that you do on your phone, you talk to friends, you browse social media, you'll play games, you'll do some financial stuff, send some emails and those sorts of things. There's a massive disparity in how sensitive those different actions are. And people have the concept that the phone is not a vital security risk in their life. Mm-hmm. They think it's just this toy that we use for certain things, when really it can do so much. And because of that mindset, they don't give it they aren't as protective around it as they should be. And that's what happens when people use their PIN to sign into their phone. They think most of the time, and it is true, 99.x% of the time you will log in using a face, a fingerprint, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the one time that you enter the PIN, you don't think, oh, I better be careful of this, like you would do if you were using your card at an ATM. You think, oh, it's my phone, just tap it in quickly. But if someone sees that PIN, if they then get hold of the device later, they can very credibly act as you to friends, family, services, etc. that you provide, all on the back of that 4 or 6-digit number that they've seen.
Are there any other risks from having your phone stolen, especially when the thief knows your PIN number? Let's say that someone, you were using your phone to do something, you had to enter your PIN to maybe get your bank account information or whatever, and someone was really close to you, you were standing in line somewhere, and they were able to get that PIN. What are some of the risks just associated with that?
Yeah, so the key thing is to have good PIN hygiene, and that means don't have the same PIN for logging into your device as you do entering devices that require a PIN. Try and have, if you can't have different ones for every app, and we're all human, we can't remember all these different numbers, but try and have one to log into the device, one to log into your app, so at least there's a bit of separation. But you have to treat that PIN can do so much that if that phone is stolen and they have the PIN, they can get into your bank account, let's say. So they go into their banking app. What's the first thing that they want to do there? They want to add a new payee so that they can send money to one of their Mule accounts. How is that secured? That is secured by getting a text message sent to the mobile number on the account with your bank. But they have that phone, so they're going to get that text message. They're going to put the PIN in. And to your bank, that is good proof that it's you. So you put yourself in a position where things happen that can be very strongly linked to it being you, and therefore disputing them with your bank becomes harder because of that extra layer of security that protects you when you have your phone works against you when you don't.
Okay, so when did you know that this was a business that you wanted to start? Because there's so many other things that you can do, and you just honed in on protecting pins. And maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but when did you think about, okay, this is the business that I want to do?
So the pin is the weakness. It's not the thing that we protect. But okay. I can almost pinpoint to the minute when I thought this was going to be a business. And it was sometime around 8 p.m. on Monday, the 19th of March, 2023. And the reason I can be that certain is that on the Saturday previous, mm-hmm. my phone was stolen. And I thought, I signed it with my face. It's just a lost device.
Yeah.
When I got back home and I tried to use my app to do the arrays, I couldn't log in. But I had a few drinks. I thought this can be tomorrow's problem. When I came to do it tomorrow, still couldn't log in. Then I found that they used my banking apps to spend money. That then started a 6-hour marathon of cancelling all my bank cards, of changing all of my passwords, to getting a new SIM card, etc. Lots and lots of time.
Yeah.
Then on the Monday, I was in London for a different event, and I was talking to someone who's involved in card payments. And I said, look, what I need is to be able to call one number and cancel all my cards. Who's the best provider? And they said, I don't know of anybody that does that. And at that point, I went, huh, okay. Then I built out a bit of a wider view of what could happen. So yes, using your cards is like your table stakes. That's the first thing they're going to do. Getting into your bank accounts, that's second. Getting into your fintech apps, so your PayPals, your Zelles, Cash Apps, that kind of stuff is on the list. Then they can get into your social media to post as you for scams and that kind of thing. They can present themselves as you to friends and family, asking them to send money to a different address for some reason. There's lots of worlds. My crypto, for example, that is secure with a 30-character password, a 2FA code, an SMS code, and an email code. But all of those arrive on that same device. So I'm thinking, okay, what I needed to do was, if I don't have my phone, I need to be able to bring down the shutters on all of my digital footprint. I need to be able to do it quickly. I need to be able to do all of them at once. And I need to be able to do it when I haven't got access to my primary device, my phone. And I think if I could solve all of those problems in one place, there's enough people suffer like I have that there'll be a market for it. And within a week, I'd written the business plan for what would go on to be called Mute from Orbit.
Okay. Sounds like a very interesting story. And I remember when my brother's phone was hacked, and I can't remember if it was his phone or if it was his website, but similar story there. And I think they cloned his SIM card and started getting his 2FA messages, his multi-factor authentication codes coming to another device. So I think he got them and they got them. So he was racing against the clock, doing the same thing, calling his banks, and emails were flying from any and everywhere. And it was just a really horrible, horrible story. And I remember him telling me about that. And it was, I mean, your life is on hold until you can, you know, feel that you have a handle on that. And it takes sometimes multiple days in order to do that, right?
Yeah, it certainly does. And like, we're not going to be a solution for all sorts of fraud. So SIM swapping that you're experienced, that could still happen. APP fraud, when someone calls you and says, send some money here, that can still happen. So there are different types of fraud that we can't help with. But the one that's on the rise is the stealing that phone, because it can do so much damage to you and it could be so valuable to the criminal. And there just aren't protections available at the moment to help you with it.
Yeah. And does artificial intelligence accelerate this? Have you seen anything change just with the advent of AI, or is it just still business as usual?
It's interesting. So to give Apple some credit, their Face ID is exceptionally strong. It is very hard to break, even with AI. It works on depth perception, not a visual. So Apple doing very well here. As you get into some, not necessarily Google directly, but Android devices, they have weaker and weaker biometric safeguards, which are more and more defeatable by images generated by AI. So there is something, but this is, the AI is probably not the biggest threat here. The biggest threat here is a very old school, low tech approach of shoulder surfing, someone just looking around a venue and seeing someone happen to put in their PIN number and then going, I know that PIN, I will make it the mission of my night to steal that device.
Okay. And how do you guys do it? How does Nuke from Orbit aim to protect users from all these growing threats to smartphone security?
So there are those three challenges that you have. There's, can you act quickly? Can you act on everything? And can you do it without your phone? And we solve those challenges. So the first one is, within your Nuke app, you will store your cards, your SIMs, and your apps and accounts, etc. No personal data with us. We just get a token from the provider and we store that. You then, with all of that stored together, you then build a network of friends, family, colleagues, etc. People that you'll probably be with if your phone is stolen, because most of the time this happens in a social situation. We do have a solution if you're on your own, but we'll focus on the network version here. Then, let's say you and I were out, we were in a bar and your phone was stolen. You could come to me and say, hey James, my phone's gone. I get out my Nuke from Orbit app. I press the Nuke button, which gives me a list of all my contacts. I select your name. I then give you the phone. You type in a simple recovery PIN. You then get access to all the things that you have stored in the account and can select the ones that you want to cancel, block, or otherwise secure. We then talk directly to the providers of those assets to take the appropriate action. So that means this works even if your phone is turned off or offline. We can still cancel those things, because the thing, there are protections at the minute. People will think, I can just go into my Find My app and do my remote erasure. Well, yes, if they haven't changed your password, then you can still try and get in there. But even if you get into the account and press erase, if the phone is offline, it can't get that command to erase it. Right. But your bank cards, they'll still work, because they work over a near field rather than a internet-based communication. So it's not just erasing the phone or trying to. It's saying all of the data that's on that device, I want to make sure it's no longer valid where the criminal will think it's valid. And that's what we do.
Okay. And you said if you're out with friends or family, and so you create like this secure network, right, of people that you spend time with, family and friends, and then you said you could use their phones in order to log into maybe the account, right?
Or your app? So the way it is, your Nuke from Orbit accounts are linked together. Okay. When I'm trying to get into your account, I click on your name, but I can't just go and see your stuff. I need a PIN that you know.
Right.
But because your phone has been stolen, you can come to me, I have to give you my phone, and then you put in your PIN, and then we load all of your data into my view of the app. And then you can act upon it. And that's the way we get around that problem of how can we do it quickly? We do it quickly because your friends will be there. And how do we do it securely? I can only log into your account on my phone because we have previously linked our accounts together, which means I must already trust you. So, and that pre-trust is really important, because there could be a billion phones in the world, but you'll have a network of 10, 20, 30 people. So only 30 devices in the world could log into your account with a short PIN, so you get that security in that way rather than complexity into it.
Okay, and is this built in the cloud somewhere, so you can log in to a panel and web page? And
So we have an app for iOS and for Android. We have a web app that works up our browser, and as I said, if you're on your own and someone goes past on a bike and picks your phone up out your hand, you could ask any passerby in the street, hey, can I just borrow your phone for a minute? You can go to our website, press the emergency button, and then we do a face scan and use your mobile number, and that's how you get back in on your own. So that's a less used way, because we don't really want to have to store people's faces, but we need to have a solution for how do we work when you're on your own, and that's the only way where we can really do it.
Okay, and what were some of the challenges just when you were initially building this out and testing it out? And how long did it take you to get to a point where you figured out, okay, wow, we have the solution and everything is solid, we've worked out most of the bugs and we have some users, etc.?
It's a journey, not a destination, as any software is. And I think between me and my CTO Alex, we've probably changed our partner API flow 3 or 4 times before we got any partners on board. Just thinking, oh, how can we make it easier for the partner? Because ultimately, we can only work with companies who are partnered with us. So the easier we make it for them to implement our protection, the better. And we thought, and then it has to be easy for the user to link all of their information together, because they're not going to go through loads of hoops. They want to go press a button, done. So yeah, we've been iterating on that now for the best part of probably 15 months or so. And that's been fine. That's just software. We're a small team, 3 people, so it was fine taking time. The thing that is going to take the longest time is getting that critical mass of partners on board. So that's card schemes, your Visas, MasterCard, Amex, that kind of thing. Then it's your phone networks. Then it's the banks and the fintech providers. The If we launched and we had just Chase as a bank to protect, okay, great. If you're a Chase holder, that'll protect that thing. But people have Chase and other things, so there's not a lot of value in just having an app that does that. If we have 100 banking providers, 2 card schemes, 10 mobile networks, etc., that means that someone has a better chance of protecting most of their digital footprint through one app. And then the more users we get, the more partners we'll get. The more partners we get, the more users we'll find they're better catered for. It's a very virtuous circle, but the hard thing has been starting that circle, because fintechs are good, big banks move slowly, etc. So there's a lot of red tape, and we're doing a thing that doesn't exist. So there are very few greenfield sites left in tech. This appears to be one of them. So we're having to create the path and work out the frameworks with everyone. Because one of the other challenges is when working with MasterCard and Visa, they expect all of their partners to be financially regulated. But we aren't. And we don't need to be, because we never do any of the financial pieces. But they didn't even think of that as a thing that could happen. So it's been quite a mind shift for them to get just contracts in place. The technology piece, not the hardest. It's more the regulatory and contractual and all of the things that big companies do that make things move slowly. That's been the biggest challenge.
Okay. And taking a step back, just overall a more cybersecurity view, I'm sure you are looped in as far as the latest and greatest cyber threats and ways to secure systems and encryption and immutability and MFA and 2FA and all these other different types of things, right? These terminology that's out there. What's gotten you excited just about where you see technology headed these days?
So there's lots of cool stuff happening out there. The most interesting thing that I've seen recently is a startup out of the UK again in Manchester called Zally. And what they do is behavioral analytics. So their package allows an app provider to gather intelligence on how the user uses the phones. How quickly are they tapping buttons? What angle do they hold the phone at? Is it left or right hand, etc.? They can then use that baseline to work out if someone else is using the app rather than the official user. They can then feed that back to the app provider and say, hey, look, this person is like 20% different. And when it gets higher, the app can say, maybe ask them for a photo now because we think it's really different. They can also benchmark typical fraudulent behavior. So when someone gets into a banking app, they're probably very quickly into new payment, what's the maximum amount, that kind of stuff. They can use that to build a baseline of a criminal thing and match those things together. But I just thought that was a really nice way. It was a really good use case for AI, because taking all of those different things that are quite hard to join together into a model, I thought that was really good. And yeah, the problem that a lot of places have is that your phone is your security-giving device. So if someone else has it, they can very well present themselves as you. But what happens in the end is that you're not actually authenticating the user. You're just authenticating the user's device. And that could be done with a PIN that isn't just the user. Whereas the biometrics of how you hold a phone, how you use the device, that is going to be very individual and very hard for a criminal to be able to fake. So yeah, that's my favorite new thing.
Okay, awesome. Maybe one more question. Are you reading something, so as far as interesting books or newsletters or anything from that perspective that you can share with the Gumbo listeners that you think's also something that they should be reading?
So I'm new to fintech. My technology background is not in this space. It's in bars and restaurants, which is a very fun space to be in, but not the same as all the finance people. So I've had to get up to speed a lot on from the ground level, really. Mm-hmm. I found Simon does a newsletter called Fintech Brain Food that also does a podcast off the back of that as well. His insight is brilliant. It's a fairly long form email once a week on a topic. He covers a few smaller companies as well. And then with the podcast, he has some really very high level, in-depth interviews with really senior people at big tech companies, big fintech companies. So yeah, I've enjoyed his stuff a lot.
Awesome. And do you have a free trial out there that the Gumbo listeners can use, or maybe anything that they could use to check out the software?
Yes, the software is currently free. It'll be free for at least the next year. After that, we will start charging, but it's going to be a very nominal figure, thinking in the region of maybe £5, so $7 a year. Should be quite an inexpensive way. But yeah, certainly for at least the next year, it's going to be free.
Okay, and the website
is
nuke.app.
Yep, it's pretty simple.
Pretty simple. Okay, James, thank you so much for being a guest here. And before I let everyone go, I do want to let everyone know about the YouTube channel. Please check us out on YouTube. We're there. Data Protection Gumbo. Go subscribe and also like the video. That's one way that we keep making these videos as well. So go check us out there. And we do have a group on LinkedIn that's called Backup and Recovery Professionals. And there's over 26,000 cybersecurity, storage, backup and recovery professionals there as well. And the reason I asked you about that newsletter, James, is because I'm launching a newsletter in the beginning of the year. And so I've been really deep in learning the different platforms and what's pretty cool about a newsletter and just figuring out how I want to lay out the email and all of that. Yeah, I'll have to go check that one out, James.
I'll certainly be a subscriber to yours.
Okay. Thank you again for taking time out of your day, your insights and best practices around just trying to keep safe, right? And be careful of your pin out there and always cover that up. And I guess when you're getting gas over here in the U.S., you have to punch your pin in your debit code pin into the gas station little keypad. I always make sure I cover that up.
But yeah, your phone's the same.
Yeah. All right, James.